AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Discover a new educational and interactive podcast, Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids. Our episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We went shape hunting around the block, and we found spheres and cubes on the street.
That was great fun. Join Stories for Kids, the Lingo Kids podcast, inspiring you to learn while having fun. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. I've got some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring the one and only Kris Jenner.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. That is very, very exciting.
And that's just the beginning. We'll also be joined by podcast host Jay Shetty, Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, and many more. So come on in, take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Chess motherfucking podcast.
Make some noise.
He's a legendary Queens rapper.
He ain't that great as your boy N.O.R.E.
He's a Miami hip-hop pioneer.
What up is DJ EFN.
Together, they drink it up with some of the biggest players.
You know what I mean?
In the most professional, unprofessional podcast and your number one source for drunk facts.
It's Drink Chess motherfucking podcast,
where every day is New Year's Eve.
Let's go. It's time for Drink Champs. Drink up, motherfucker.
What it could be, hoping it's what it should be. This is your boy, N-O-R-E.
What up, it's DJ EFN.
And it's Militant Crazy Raw Radio. Drink Chaps, Yappy Hour. Motherfucker, we'll do how we gotta do. Make some noise!
Right now, when you talk about one of the originators, one of the people that has been there, still stood this test of time, still out here monkey foot in the game, got an ill distribution deal right now, and we're gonna get into all of that. I'm getting to how they got there. But the man has been doing it. He's brung, you've seen him. The first time I seen New York niggas in London is with him. First time I seen New York City niggas go somewhere other than, even from, shit, even I seen them in Virginia, that was like, Jesus. That was like, you know, that was, you know, Virginia was like fucking Jamaica. Like, I thought you needed a passport to go to Virginia at that time. Like, the man has been true to hip hop, has been one of the most lyrical guys here. I seen him on Kick a Rhyme the other day, and he still got it. But the beautiful thing about it is the relationship that, you know, from the beginning and you know, even the turmoil to now where they at. I what is that? Applaud that. I commend that. I salute that. You know what I'm saying? To see where they at. And the fact that people from Tidal was going hard for this. I really think that's commendable, man. You know what I'm saying? After all these years. But in case you don't know what we're talking about, motherfucking Jazzo, make some noise! Yeah. So, one thing that I Googled you, right? You have a neighbor, Eric Oliver?
Yeah.
Eric Oliver.
Eric Oliver.
That was the first person to tell you you should write a rhyme.
Did your research, my nigga.
No, because you know why? That name just fucked me up. Listen, no, when I said, that's a director's name in my mind.
Yeah,
like,
it does.
Like, that's the sound like somebody who's going to direct Bad Boys 5 and shit. But go ahead. So how does a person come up to you and says, yo, I think you should write a rhyme?
Well, you know, basically.
And how old were you when he said this?
Oh, shit. Well, he was about 9.
Wow.
I was like 13. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and it was around the time where, you know, they was taking the electricity from the light pole, you know, he got the music out.
Right.
This cat Lenny Morgan from the building. Mm-hmm. Every time they had the music out, like, I think it was just crazy. He was the good crazy.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And he just run through the lane. So I'm like, yo, they got the music out. Right. They got the music out. So I'm telling
like
you.
Like the Park Jam days? Right. That type of vibe?
Yeah.
That's exactly what he got to be talking about. Yeah.
So Eric Oliver actually lived on the fifth floor. I lived on the sixth floor on 644 Park Ave. Mm. And his mother and my mother were very, very good friends. Mm. So one day he was like, man, yo, you see how they be rhyming on the mic? Yo, you should rhyme on the mic just like that. I was like, man, get out of my face.
Right.
You know, he's like, I'm telling you, you should rhyme on the mic. He said, I bet you can't. So he did the reverse psychology shit on me.
Okay.
He said, I bet you can't write rhyme.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so.
Can you remember the guys that were rhyming on the mic that he was telling you should be like them? Or you could do better than them?
Way back then,
yeah.
If you were a DJ, you more than likely you were an MC too,
as well,
or you
right.
got somebody to
you
MC.
You might have been cooler than the rapper back then. Back then, the DJs back
the
then
original,
were
man.
Cooler
yeah.
than.
All right, relax.
Yes.
y'all wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the DJ.
No, I remember okay. the MC like actually being like the second. Like that's why Eric B and Rakim.
Yeah.
Right. But continue.
Yeah. So. He did the reverse psychology shit on me. So, you know, my ego got the best of me. And right. So I wrote an 8-bar rhyme.
Right.
And he was like, yo, you should say that. You should do this, that, and the other.
Right.
So, you know, I kept it quiet, you know, but secretly, I was writing more. I started scribing more shit.
Right.
So then it happened that we went Red Hook Projects. And one of my boys, Ronald Henley, we used to call him Ron Dew. We used to always go, and because his Uncle Mango.
Everybody got to have a nigga named Ron Dew. Like, if you from the projects
facts.
And you don't have a nigga named Ron Dew, I'm questioning you.
Nigga. Yeah, exactly. You like the nigga that don't fold your pieces.
Oh, yeah, you got to fold your pieces. Okay, yeah, Ron Dew, I like this. Where we going? Let's go to there.
So Uncle Mango, you know, he used to do house parties, everything else. So one night, we went out to Red Hook, and he was doing a house party. So my man Ron put me on the spot. He was like, yo, don't you be rhyming and shit? I was like, nah, I don't really be rhyming and shit.
Right.
But right. He was like, go ahead, man. Because you know how the house party was set up. The DJ setup was in the bedroom. And everybody was in the living room. You know, and they had the extension cord, all that shit. So anyway, so I start rhyming. Then we start hearing the reaction. They were like, woo! So my head said, woo. You know what I mean? So I was like, shit, I got three more in the stack. So I just went at it, and that's what really started it.
So what you was that prior to you going to Virginia, going to college, or that was after?
That was before.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay. So you was in college already, and you must have been like, man, but at that time, I'm going to be honest, and I'm sorry for Virginia people, but at that time, if you was from New York, you was like from Brazil. Like, we was exotic to niggas in Virginia and Baltimore because, like, we had the slang. So it must have been, like, good for you out there in Virginia. Or
most definitely.
Okay.
Most definitely. I went to Old Dominion University for 2 years, and I really went to college for my mom and for my grandmother because I damn sure wasn't going for myself. I didn't want to go. You know what I'm saying? I was in the street.
Right.
You know, I wanted to rhyme. I wanted to do everything except, you know, what they said was the right thing to
do. Is
that
like somewhat? Because, like, I went through the good thing is I was sick yesterday, so I had a great long time to just stay in the bed and just go through your shit. Is that where you get your vocabulary from? Is that something that helped it? Was going to college or something like that? Or
I think
you had that prior?
Yeah, it was my mom.
Oh, okay. Wow.
To be honest. Yeah, it was my mother because, like, I told this story before, but, like, she used to always just introduce new words to me.
Wow.
Like one day I was either 5 or 6 and I was being silly. And she was like, "Oh, Johnny, you being so facetious." I was like, "You know, I was like, what the fuck?" Right. So, you know, and she already knew I was very inquisitive. So I always asked her, like, "What does that mean? Uh-huh. How do you use with, you know, everything?" So it just went on like that. So I always, and she knew I was gonna dive in because I was always asking her questions. Anything like I used to ask her shit like, "What does nothing look like?"
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And she'd be like, and I was 5. I was out there.
That shit blowing me away right now. What does nothing look like? Yeah. Wow, that's ill. Yeah. Do you think that's what makes an artist? Because so many people, right? I don't remember who exactly it was, but it was like high school dropout, right? Mm-hmm. And then everyone kind of like at that moment, like especially in the 80s, 90s, early 90s, everyone was claiming that there was high school dropouts. Right. But now, if you pay attention to that, this generation, those high school dropouts of our generation, that generation, has made the dumbest children ever for this generation. I'm just being honest. What the fuck? These drink champs, I'm sorry. Yeah, but you understand? Do you feel like we failed them? Like, are we a direct descendant? Because when you hear these niggas right nowadays, you're like, damn, they definitely didn't go to Miss Ebanks' class. They definitely skipped social studies.
I think, for sure.
You know what I'm saying?
I think that we are definitely a part of the failure, but we were sort of like an unknown part of the failure. I think that the failure, or if you want to call it that, it was a gradual thing over really like decades. You know, decades of us, you know, becoming, you know, coming to the cities, you know,
coming from self-destruction to. Let's drink some lean.
Reaganomics and everything that came around.
Let's drink
that.
Some lean. Cut the triple bean. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Pain. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like from self-destruction to... You ever to thought that?
Yeah. Because, like, I mean, we, you know, when I came out, you know, I was talking about Islam and, you know what I'm saying? Black unity and all that. And
Prophecy nation.
Exactly. And it's just crazy. Like, somebody said it. Like, I saw it on Facebook, actually, where they said... you know, in the late 80s and 90s, you know, you had the rappers who really talked about being drug dealers.
Yeah.
Now you got the rappers drug users.
I'm proud of it, though.
What a flip.
Like, all right, cool. Not to compare them to crackheads, but in our day, not to compare them. So sorry.
And neither is good, FYI.
You just compared them
to crackheads. Neither is good.
You know, I'm sorry. I don't have nothing else to compare them to, right? So what I'm saying, in our day... Crack was the shit. Hold on, let me finish it out. What I mean is, was the shit. And only assholes was actually smoking it. Like, at first, when it first came out, motherfuckers smoked it, motherfuckers
whatever. It wasn't cool to be a user.
And because, you know, it was cocaine was cool at first, and then motherfuckers smoked crack. Then when people feel like you're a victim, you're an addict.
Right.
Then they had songs. We had murals in the hood, crack kills, all this.
Yeah.
That is the exact opposite. They have murals in the hood with people with double cups. And they have murals in the hood with people with Percocet. And, like, it's perpetuating it. And I have a lot of nerve because I'm sitting here with all this alcohol with a blunt in my hand and I'm about to open some Ace of Spades.
Hey, it's organic.
But what I'm saying, I never think hip-hop would be this dumb. Like, and I don't want to say they're dumb because there's a lot of dope artists, but these kids are making great money and I got to salute that. But I'm saying when I say dumb, the content being so dumbed down that, you know what I mean? Like, do you think that we would be at this level of hip-hop?
Nah. This shit is crazy.
Like, it's 180 what it was. Yeah.
And I got to say this, and I say it often, like, you know, as far as the skill set and the, you know, the basic, like, the level as far as setting the bar, as far as, like, songs and stuff, like, I mean, we had niggas that was trash back when.
Of course.
You know what I'm saying?
Of course.
So a lot of people, you know, they want to rally the troops and say, like, you know, this was the golden age, and everything that came out was crazy hot, and now everything is trash.
Right.
And that's not the case. I mean, it's you got that shit regardless, you know.
Right.
But there's a difference, like the differences that you're talking about.
And it's the amount of artists too that now, because everybody can be artists because they could record in their crib, and it's just like you have millions of artists. Before there was a funnel, you had to get in the studio, you had to, someone to put your mans on into to the label, and then they put you out. So it's limited, where now everybody's an artist.
Right. Now, I'm just bouncing around because that's what we do in Drink Champs.
No doubt.
Now, one of the things I want to ask is like, when Jay and Nas was going through that, right? Mm-hmm. And there was a certain time, and I believe he said from Hawaiian Sophie fame or something like that. How did that make you feel? Because, I don't know, how just generic, how did it make you feel?
It was awkward.
Right.
Okay. It was awkward because I was accused of, you know, giving Nas information. It's like,
I didn't even know that. Thank you for keeping it real.
That's crazy. Okay.
And me and Nas, we didn't talk like that. We had great rapport, but we didn't talk. So I was accused of that because people were saying, like, people in the circle, they were saying, like, well, how did he know this? How did he know that? I was like, he saw it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? When I was signed to EMI, we did a college tour.
But by the way, the first hip hop artist signed to PMI. Let's be clear. We ain't gonna just say that and just skip over. We gonna get into
that's
that.
Huge. That's
the
huge.
First hip hop artist, nigga. You was over there with Red Eye Chili Peppers and niggas like that, right? You know, they were different niggas. Go ahead. $250,000 deal and all that. We'll get into that, but let's go into that. Okay.
Yeah. So you know, it was a situation whereas. You know, he said, well, how did he know all that? And I was like, well, you know, we were on a college tour. Like, he didn't stay on the tour, but, you know, he came out for Main Source. He came out, you know, for Large Professor when they did...
Live at the BBQ, right?
Exactly. So we were at Norfolk State. That's where I met Nas. You know what I'm saying? And he got on stage, and they did the song. And, you know, me and Jay was standing there, and he was like, yeah, this dude, he gonna be something. All
right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's hard.
Like that, we were analysts. That like that's how we did everything. Like we watched everything, but so I lost my thought.
Yeah, they used to be accused of giving Nas
information during the battle. Yeah.
Yeah. So now, that shit's pretty good.
Okay.
Yeah. So I was accused of that, and I didn't give them any information. Like, and I
mean, were you approached by them?
Nah, because I mean, everybody who really knew me, they knew I ain't that type of
nigga. Right,
right.
You know what I'm saying? And if I got something to tell you that you may not like, I feel that in the greater or in the big picture, if it's something that I feel is beneficial to your well-being, I'm going to tell you anyway. You ain't got to like me. I don't need you to like me. I don't give a fuck. If I love you, if I care about you, then I care about your well-being. You can hate my guts. You know what I'm saying? I don't care. I live with that. Because I don't breathe and eat and pay my bills off of whether you love me or not.
Right. Mm.
So I don't need it.
Mm.
What I do need is to be myself. And myself determines that I love everybody.
Right.
So just to go back to that, like, yeah, I was accused of that shit. Wow. And I think in a way that caused a little friction between, sort of like the beginning. Okay. Of things, yeah.
Oh, okay, so we're gonna get back to that. Let's just bounce around because how did it feel to be the first person on first hip hop on EMI? Because now if people say EMI, you think of I think Raekwon had a deal over there. Now you think of that, but obviously if you're the first hip hop,
and was it first from your neighborhood?
No, this is first hip hop.
No, but I'm saying also getting a deal from the neighborhood.
Oh yeah, I was the first. Same thing. Yeah, so. It was weird, and I felt like what I was fucking guinea pig.
Oh, wow.
You know, it's like
for the label.
Yeah, because they didn't see the thing is this: they didn't really know what to do.
Right.
They just knew like they saw Cold Chillin' at the time. They started.
They want to be involved.
Right. They saw here, Warner
acquired, Cold Chillin' and all that other stuff. So they're like, "Yo, that's popping for them. Let's do the
same
thing."
Like mid-'80s, mid to late-'80s.
88.
Okay.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
God damn it. He's been getting money since 88 for real. For real.
Great year in hip hop, too.
Hip hop.
So you felt that they didn't understand?
Nah, they didn't understand at all.
Wow.
And the thing is, I was being promoted and marketed through the urban music department, which actually they called it the Black Music Promotions Department.
Wow.
Yeah, so, it, yeah, wow. They weren't even politically correct back then. They just said, this is niggas music. You know, so push that. Go. 1, 2, 3, go. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so, wow. Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah, so, it was crazy. After a couple of years, my man who, you know, he's with me in spirit always and with all of us in spirit, my man Harry Fobbs, he was a close friend to JC who used to run with Kane.
Right. JC?
So, yeah.
All right, cool.
So he and I became real cool and, you know, he was like, yo, why they ain't pushing your music through? I was like, they don't know what they doing. He's right. Like, yo, you should ask somebody. And I was like, damn, that shit is real crazy, but that shit makes a lot of sense. Right. So I inquired, and they were like, you know, have him come up. So he came up, they interviewed him, you know, none of that corporate paperwork shit. Right. He was like, you on. Wow. And he became an A&R. Unfortunately, a few months after that, he passed.
Oh, God bless. God bless.
Yeah, shout to Harry Fobbs. I know you hear me, bro.
God bless. God bless.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
When your child fights sleep, it can feel like a battle you'll never win. Imagine a bedtime routine you all look forward to, where you cuddle in and let the stress of the day melt away. Welcome to Sleep Tight Stories, a calming weekly podcast that brings bedtime stories, cuddles, and comfort to families worldwide. The stories are quirky, relatable, and spark wonder without overstimulation, so listeners can fall asleep and stay asleep. Each episode is narrated by me, Cheryl McLeod, a second grade teacher, and written by my husband, Clark, an eternal second grader at heart. Tune in tonight and bond over a story before drifting off to sleep. Make bedtime the sweetest part of your day. Sleep Tight Stories. Listen to Sleep Tight Stories on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. I'm Abby, a mother of two, and I had these battles myself. Endless excuses, delay tactics, and many tears and tantrums. But I've created a solution. The perfect kids podcast that makes bedtime a dream. It's called Koala Moon, and it's hosted by me, Abby. With over 300 episodes packed with original stories and sleep meditations, Koala Moon makes bedtimes easy and enjoyable. Episodes start out engaging and really rather magical, but as they progress, they gently slow to a calm and relaxing pace to have your little ones out like a light. Since launching in 2022, Koala Moon has helped with over 20 million nights sleep and received over 6,000 five-star reviews. Win back your evenings. Listen to Koala Moon now on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, ready to discover a new educational and interactive podcast for kids? Join Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids, where episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We learned how to recycle at the beach.
That was great fun. Cowie, what do you say?
It was. And that time when we did the science experiment and Billy made raisins dance.
That is so cool, Billy.
He did. Not to mention when a certain Elliot took up swimming classes with Lisa.
That was me!
Bet you can't catch me.
I'm going to get you.
All this fun and more in our Stories for Kids. Lingo Kids Stories for Kids is now available on StoryButton, the kid-friendly device for screenless podcast listening. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So, And then Hawaiian Sophie. Let's get to the actually making that record. Did y'all go to Hawaii for the video?
Hell no.
Oh man, you messing up my childhood right now.
Oh man, my bad.
Yeah, it was like the Hawaii 5-0 vibe, right?
Yeah.
Was that the vibe?
I thought y'all was definitely in Hawaii, but go ahead. Yeah.
But you know, I guess that was they were in the process, you know, cleaning that money and shit. Okay. So. You know how they do, you know, like, we're taking this nigga to Hawaii, you know. Right. We can go right to the warehouse over here and get the, you know.
Put some sand on the joint.
Exactly. And okay. That's exactly what they did. But, I mean, I think it turned out great. Mm. They showed a lot of support in what they did and what they were aware of, you know. So I appreciated that.
Was that officially the first record Jay-Z was ever on, like video? Mm.
Yeah.
And like we have Video Music Box for everything. It's first like visual. Yeah. God damn, make some noise for Jazz. God damn. But he can technically say, I discovered Jay-Z. He can do it. He can do it. There's not a lot of people who can say that. There's not a lot of people who can say that. Now, Kane had something to do early on with you guys too, right? Because was it you who linked up with Kane and then you brought him around?
Oh, this is what happened. So this. We gonna throw Queens in the mix. Oh,
okay, let's get it.
You know what I'm saying? So, Shirt Kings.
Oh, that's goddamn it. That's goddamn it.
You know, Knight.
I couldn't afford Shirt Kings back then, but let's go. I was a young bum nigga back then. Go ahead. Keep it real. Go ahead.
But Knight from the Shirt Kings, Knight actually lived around the same way that Jay did. Mm. So, what happened was I was coming home from college after those 2 years.
Right.
You know, I basically dropped out of that shit.
Right.
So when Nike found out, you know, that I was back, you know, in Brooklyn, you know, so I guess he had a heated discussion with somebody else because they were talking about this young cat that's supposed to be nicer than everybody.
Right.
And then, you know, Nike was like, psh, a nigga ain't nicer than Jazz. Jazz is a nice nigga, period, point blank. Right. Woo, woo, woo. You know what I'm saying? Right. So they were going back and forth. It was like, well, let's find out.
Right.
So he set up the meeting, you know, and that's when me and Jay first met. Mm. So I say that, you know, we had like a, you know, I rhymed first. Mm. Jay was like, and then he rhymed, and I was like, I, you know what I'm saying? And he was the first person that I ever heard rhyme.
Like reminded you of you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I was like, yeah, you know, right. I gotta keep eye on him. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? So to fast forward, that Nike was like the
Shirt Kings.
Yeah. Okay. He was like the broker for all of this, you know, putting people together type of shit. So, you know, I guess Kane was getting some shit. You know, Kane and a lot of other rap artists of that time.
That was like,
you know,
Dapper Dan before Dapper Dan. Or was it before? Or maybe the same time.
It was around the same time. It was just a different, you know, different vibe.
Yeah. Okay.
So we had a situation like same shit came up with Kane and me.
Right.
Like, no, Kane, this, that, and all. He's like, nigga ain't better than Jazz.
Right.
You know, he was always screaming that. Nigga ain't better than Jazz. So so he set it up. I don't know if you guys remember Fresh Gordon. Fresh Gordon, he was a producer. He produced some stuff for the Fat Boys. Mm. He had a deal with Tommy Boy.
Right.
I'm going to tell you another side story about what he should be more known and recognized for. But anyway, So Nike basically set up the meeting. So it was supposed to be a battle again. But, you know.
And it's Kane. This ain't no half-stepping Kane?
Yeah, it's Big Daddy Kane.
Oh, this is when he Kane. He fucking Madonna already and shit?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go. All right, let's go.
Not fucking Madonna yet.
All right, cool.
But he was on his way.
All right, cool.
You know. But so Nike set that up. And we all met at Fresh Gordon's crib. And, We did this little, I guess back then you call it a mixtape.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So we recorded that, and from then on, like we all just became cool.
Right.
You know, because it was supposed to be a battle, but Jay was there, and you know Jay didn't know like should he be rhyming or this, that, and I was like, come on, man! Like if it's me, it's you. Right. Let's go.
Right.
So we just did it. You know, Gordon, 10 minutes, whipped up a beat.
Wow, and then I made a record.
It wasn't a record, but it's...
like rhymed on the beat.
Yeah, okay. We rhymed on the
beat. Like a mixtape joint.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so...
So
and that's what started. And we established a relationship from there. You know, me and Jay used to go out to Queens, check on Kane, and, He started coming to Brooklyn, and he was in Brooklyn and Queens around that time.
And y'all all from Marcy, or you from Marcy too, or no?
Yeah, okay. Born and raised.
And Sauce Money too, correct?
Sauce Money, yeah.
Because okay. That's the funniest thing, right? When I was Googling you yesterday, I was pulling up the thing. it was like almost like the roles is almost reversed, right?
Yeah.
It was like, at one point, you know, you was voicing your opinion, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it got worked out or whatever. And I saw a Sauce Money interview popped up.
Yeah.
So in the Sauce Money interview, he's saying, yo, Jazzo, and he's talking about you because at the time, and then now it's like the roles are reversed. Now it's like, you know, you got business with Jay, and you like, you know, whatever, and now it's Sauce Money like sitting back, and he's saying like, well, Jay didn't do right. I can't really understand what's going on. So I'm just being honest from the outside of looking in, that tried to do my research, but I could tell. It's nothing I could ever get unless I got you brother standing in front of me. Mm-hmm. How can you break that situation down?
It's very simple.
Okay.
You know, one of the greatest axioms I've ever heard is shit happens.
Okay, but would you say axioms? Yeah. I need to take that one. What the fuck does that mean?
It's a saying.
It's a parable?
Saying. Okay, axioms? Or
you write that
phrase.
Down, Hass. Please, I need that for later. Text me it. Because I need to use that. That was hard. Okay.
He's still dropping lyrics on us right now.
He rhyming talking at the same time. That's all.
He's got lyrics.
That's hard shit. That is hard. Make some noise for that. Okay, shit happens. So axioms.
Yeah.
Okay,
but the flip side of shit happens is that people react a certain way.
Right.
Okay.
So the thing that's the key to it. Everybody focuses on the shit happens part, but nobody focuses on how do you respond to certain things.
Right.
So, like you said, similar circumstances.
Right.
Right. Roles reverse.
Right.
Different responses. I'm gonna keep it right there.
Right.
Y'all think all of y'all get it?
Oh.
And we need Sauce Money here too at the table.
Yeah, you
man.
Know, I'm gonna be honest. I don't know where this rumor started. Though.
Yeah, that he's being blackballed for drink champs. Absolutely not true at all.
I mean, no one. To tell you the truth, no one in this deal, and we've just because we've only been in this deal like not even a year. No,
with Tidal
and everybody. To tell you the truth, the first people Tidal has ever called for is you.
Yeah, they've never asked us for somebody to be on.
They have never.
This is the first time.
This is Rock Nation. That's why I was impressed. Yeah. I was like, this is dope. I was like, you know, me knowing the history, because that's something I would like to do for
Shout
Trash or somebody. Like, you know, Trash actually put me on. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. We had our discrepancies, and we still have our discrepancies. I still see his shit and be like, this nigga's out of his mind, right? But he's my man. And I would like, that's real shit, because it's one thing that y'all doing business. And it's a whole nother thing just to reach out and make shit happen. And that, to me, I have to applaud that. Let's applaud that. You know what I'm saying? Let's applaud that. But now, where does Original Flavor come in?
They come in with Dame Dash.
Oh, that's right. They're the Harlem niggas, right?
Right.
Okay.
I didn't know that.
And actually, Ski is from North Carolina.
Wow.
But he was living in Harlem.
So hold on.
Wait, but Hawaii Sophie and so Original dope. Flavor, that's not
totally different.
Completely different situation.
Different eras, different. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. See, that's when Dame Dash comes in. That's because prior to that, there was no Dame Dash, there was no Biggs.
Right.
When you and Jay, all right, so this is good shit. This is good shit for hip hop niggas. Go ahead.
So, actually, one of your previous guests, Clark Kent, introduced Dame Dash to Jay, and then me and the rest of us, and give you a little something y'all might not have known, that the whole setup originally was for Jay, myself, and Sauce. We were a group.
What's the name of the group?
Yeah, pause. Hard Pack.
The Hard Pack?
There was a gang in Miami called Hard Packs. Shout out to Heckler and the crew.
Okay, so that was... I was about to ask, was you and Jay ever a group too? Was it the Originators or no?
Nah.
Or that was just a record? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, but the Hard Pack. Let's take it from the Hard Pack. I like this.
So we did about...
It's getting interesting.
So we did about... I know I'm gonna get calls behind. I don't give a fuck.
Little Rob.
So we did about 6 or 7 songs together. And Clark produced some, Ski produced a couple, I produced a couple. And
just to be clear again, so everybody knows, it's Jay, Sauce Money, and you.
Yeah.
Wow. That's Hard Pack.
Wow. Yeah.
Just wanna make sure.
Wow.
So
Jay-Z.
Okay. Yo, gotta relax, man.
No, I said that.
Yo, just black his face out for the rest of the episode. It's not gonna be that hard. Just his eyes.
Stop asking me to pass shit over. I'm not doing it for you.
Yeah, continue.
So there were slight discrepancies as far as like the decision was sort of made that, you know, Dame would manage us. So he wanted everybody to sign and
to Rockefeller, that was already existing.
No, to Dame's management, like to sign to him as management. And everybody didn't want to do it.
Mm.
You know. I didn't feel like I should do it. It had nothing to do with my rapport with Dame. You know what I'm saying? It was just something that I felt that I shouldn't do.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think at that time Sauce felt the same way. So that's what happened with that. Right. But yeah, that was the beginning of that. Clark introduced all of us.
Right. You guys had records though?
It's at 6, right?
I wouldn't say records, I'd say recordings, where they are, I don't know.
Ooh, you know, wherever they are, please surface.
Mm. Yeah, I got, you know.
You could, if you don't, have some, got, just drink chance.
Don't tell me you like Busta Rhymes. Busta Rhymes got dats from 1988. You ever hang out with Busta Rhymes? Yo, listen, he is crazy. He be having the old school dats. I be wanting to say, yo, how the fuck do you even remember where these shits is at? Like, I'm talking about, yo, you ever seen? He has the rails. He has everything. But I'm sorry to cut you off.
Oh, no, it's cool. Yeah. It's cool.
So you don't know where these records exist at all?
Nah.
Yeah,
no.
Some engineer is somewhere like this.
Wait till these motherfuckers die and some
shit. No. Yeah,
we gonna live forever.
Spotify.
We gonna live forever, Jazz. Oh, yeah, yeah, over here, drink champs. We live forever, goddamn. So,
but it did make for a good joke.
Right. Yeah. No, that's the hard pack. I definitely, that's hard, man.
Yeah, that's hard.
That's hard. The hard pack. But so now this London trip, right? It's so iconic because we get to hear Jay even talk about like him going to London or whatever. But ironically, this London trip, he actually went with you.
Yeah.
He was like, so can you describe that for the people? Because the people, I mean, that's dope. Like when they see Jay and the Beamer, and it's like his history. But it's dope and it's humbling to know that when I found out, I was like, it was actually a trip that Jazz O brung Jay.
Yeah.
So you could describe that?
Yeah, so... It was the, it was, I don't know, I don't, well, I know why, I just don't want to throw, you know, do that to people, but we went to London to record my album, so it was myself, Jay, and Irv Gotti.
Mm. Ooh, and, still on EMI, this is on EMI, right?
Yeah, this was
I think this is Irv Gotti told us that it was you, but okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we were there for like 2 months. Irv got homesick. He broke out.
Wow.
And we stayed. Mm. But it was a very good experience besides the food.
Right. Oh, you didn't know how to eat roti back then?
I couldn't find no roti.
They
wouldn't take us to, what is it, Brixton?
Brixton. Oh.
They wouldn't take us to Brixton. Our
photographer's from London.
Yeah. I know, my first time, that's the first thing they said. They said, go see the Rasta them. I said, no problem. And I went straight to the Rasta on them.
Nah, they told us. They told us, go to the studio. Because they ain't know. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? Go to the studio.
Yeah.
We went to the Y, you know, sometime, you know, play some ball.
Uh-huh.
And back, you know, I did have a flat in this affluent area somewhere. I don't know where the hell we were, but we were living good.
Right. That's hard.
So that was a very great experience. It was the, I couldn't believe it. And I really couldn't grasp what was going on until I had an actual release celebration, really for the completion of the album in London. And we were in a Cadillac Stretch. mm-hmm. which was mm-hmm. almost like having a Bentley stretch yeah. at yeah. that time
yeah.
here.
That was it's a ghost, goddamn it. You got ahead. Yeah, Bentley's, yeah, go ahead.
You know what I'm saying? So basically, then it hit me. I was like, oh, I'm doing it. Right. You know, because the right. whole time it's just like regular shit. You right. know, me, Irv, and Jay, we clowning around and shit. Right. We go to this restaurant every Wednesday, and we run into all type of right. people that's coming through. Like I met Anita Baker out there.
Oh shit!
Keith Sweat came out there. George Duke, may yeah. live forever. So yeah, so it was a great experience. But that's when I realized I was like, oh, this shit is real.
Hip hop could go, it could really go.
Exactly.
Now, you fought to have Jay-Z on your cover. This is your album.
Mm-hmm.
What made you say that? Like,
yo, that's who the fuck
but
I
you
am,
say
you man.
You fought for it?
Yeah, like, wasn't the label, this is what I heard.
Yeah,
the
you
label,
heard right.
Yeah, you know, the label was like, this is your album. You should be on here solo. And
yeah, that's
this
crazy.
From what I heard, you said, fuck that. This is what I want to do.
Yeah.
But I just want to hear it from your mouth. Like,
yeah.
And why did you want to do that? Yeah.
Cause that was my bro.
Right.
You know, and I felt like.
Hold on, let's make some noise for it, man. That's real shit, though. That's real shit.
And I felt.
Let me stop you, because people wasn't doing that at the time. You've seen it with Ray and Ghost.
Right. Right, yeah.
You didn't know that came from here. That was the first time
I had seen someone put,
like, every now and then you probably see somebody with their homeboy or their dancers. Or right. they dancers or somebody like that. You never see somebody
put
another.
Or the DJ in the artist.
Or DJ, but that means that's when they was in a group together.
Right, right.
First time I had ever seen the artist have put another artist on their cover.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Was this? This is the first time. I don't know if I'm, you know.
I don't remember it.
I didn't remember you. I remember you being the first one.
Yeah, that's all I remember.
God damn it, I remember that. God damn it. Okay, so again, let's reiterate what I was just asking. Like, what made you want to do that? Like, you know what I mean?
That's just who I am, man.
Right.
Like, I can't help it.
Right.
Like, right. you know, I'm not. It's intellect behind it.
Mm.
It's like he deserved it, and I felt like, damn, all this bullshit I got to go through, or that I went through to get to that point.
Right.
You know, he shouldn't have to go through that.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? So if I can make it easy. Show his face,
wow.
and everybody like, well, what does he do? And this guy was like, shit, he rhymed, you know. And so I basically, that was just how I was. You know, I didn't have like a steady DJ.
Mm.
So I was like, you know, and I could be on here by myself, but that's just not how I feel about myself.
Right.
And I feel like, you know, our greatest value is our value to
like pulling somebody else up, right?
Yeah,
right.
I you know, whoever you express yourself to,
right.
And you know, that to me, that's your value,
right.
And that's what I was just compelled to do, and I fought for it. I was like, yo, that's my man, and it's like, you know, y'all gonna have problems if he ain't on the album, at least on the back. They didn't put him on the front, but.
Right.
On the back, it's like, y'all gonna have problems. I'm not gonna cooperate. And y'all already gave me money.
Right. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Right, right. Nah, let's salute to that, man. Come on. Let's salute to that. Salute to that, man. I respect that. Michelada. Michelada. I ain't gonna lie. Let me tell you something, man.
Thank you.
I know I said it off camera, but I had a Michelada in San Diego. I still haven't stopped shitting from that. From 9 years ago, my bro.
Big up to my
boy Cows. But I ain't gonna front. That's an acquired taste, right?
Like, I think a rapper mixes brand, as a matter of fact.
Yeah?
A rapper from the West.
I think it's shot time. I got a shot in me.
A Michelada? You want a shot of Michelada?
That's not gonna happen, sir. That is not gonna happen, sir. We're gonna do a shot. Come on, let's do a shot of something. Tiger, I gotta take my sweater off now.
Man, you wore a sweater for that? Yeah, shout out to Capone, man.
Shout out to Capone, you know. Akasi clothing.
Oh, that's hot.
Jesus, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Gotta support your homie.
Hell yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Most definitely.
So, yeah. All right, cool, because we're gonna start
awesome.
Sweating.
Real awesome.
We gotta start, niggas gotta start learning how to make sweaters without the shit that stuck to your shit.
Oh, wow.
Like, look, this shit is sticking. I just put this shit on one time. Come on.
Remember, it's limited now. There's no more...
There's no more Tiger?
Yeah, especially with the coronavirus.
Oh, shit.
Oh,
y'all got the stretcher, right?
Yo, so listen, let me just tell you something. I don't know if you know, but our show is about bigging our legends up. you know, every other culture, when you have 10 years or more, they call you seasoned. There's people right now getting 70 years old, having contracts and touring the motherfucking world.
And
continue, and they call them seasoned. Our culture, no other culture, there's a word called washed up. Only our culture.
Facts.
And I fucking hate that. Me personally, I wanna say that we are legends and we are superheroes and we're gonna continue to motherfucking keep our legends and our superheroes alive and keep them motherfucking relevant. That's what this show is about. So we celebrate your life, we celebrate your legacy, and we celebrate your career. And that's what the fuck we do here, Jazz. You know what I'm saying? Salute. Oh, Sonny D, you here? You got
I'm
a shot?
Here. I'm drinking.
Why you got the smallest shot
I'm
then?
Today.
I hope y'all got a stretch over there for me.
We just drank coronavirus. Yo, why you gave me the broken one, bro?
Whoa. Yeah, let's stop with the coronavirus. That shit too close to my hood.
Oh, thank you.
Yo, that shit was a late.
What
morning.
Is this?
I already drank it.
What is it?
That's called Tiger Bone. It's actually...
Oh, the Tiger Bone.
Yeah, that's actually, Tiger Bone, yeah.
It's actually a herb. It's actually not supposed to be
bad.
No, it's
many herbs. It's not just one herb.
Yeah, yeah. But you see, one shot, that's what we're supposed to do it.
Yeah.
So, now, all right. Now, the rumor is, you know, you and Jay, y'all good. Originators dropped one of the illest records. First of all, describe that, like, because this is the first time you see your man, like he's shining, and then he comes and he puts you on Originators. Is that how it, is that, or I'm missing a couple of things?
Oh, nah. It was during that time, and, you know, he was bubbling, and, you know, I guess the idea came up, and I think that they felt it inappropriate to do a song like that, and it would be... it would just be bigger to have me on a song.
Oh, wow.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh.
So, you know, love is love. Right. And, you know, he called me. I'm actually writing a book that gives the account, you know, the backstory to all the events leading up
with
to
a
me
script,
going to
I
the
hope.
Studio. You
gotta have a script to that book.
Well, actually, it's going to be, it's a volume of what I foresee as numerous volumes, and it's basically going to be like an analyzation of some of my landmark verses and gives lessons in poetic license, like onomatopoeia, simile, metaphor.
What's the right time to do shit like that? It's the right time to do shit like that, because content, if you produce that shit or you produce it and just, you know.
Well, he's saying the book right now.
I'm talking about the book and the motherfucking visual, because, you know, I'm not
content,
that smart to read books
content,
and shit like
yeah.
that. Like, me personally, I'm not a read booker, you know what I'm saying?
it's kind of obvious.
I'll watch the shit out of something, though. I watch the shit, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's most people.
I watch Malcolm X movie way more than I read the book.
There's audiobooks.
But I love the book too, man. Listen, I'm not in the audiobooks yet. Okay? I'm not into it yet. I feel like I'm going to get into it eventually.
Right.
But I feel like I got to go back to reading some more. I'm reading Message to the Millennials.
Where's the Islam
came. He gave me a book. I read the front page today. I felt good. Yeah, but then I realized
just the cover.
Yeah, I read the one page, and then I read the back, and I said it's a start. It's a start.
Hey, if you do one
like,
a day,
look at me.
Good.
There you
two
go.
Months.
There you go. You know what I mean? And we, yeah. So okay, so what? All right.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. I'm Abby, a mother of two, and I had these battles myself. Endless excuses, delay tactics, and many tears and tantrums. But I've created a solution. The perfect kids podcast that makes bedtime a dream. It's called Koala Moon, and it's hosted by me, Abby. With over 300 episodes packed with original stories and sleep meditations, Koala Moon makes bedtimes easy and enjoyable. Episodes start out engaging and really rather magical, but as they progress, they gently slow to a calm and relaxing pace to have your little ones out like a light. Since launching in 2022, Koala Moon has helped with over 20 million nights sleep and received over 6,000 five-star reviews. Win back your evenings. Listen to Koala Moon now on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, ready to discover a new educational and interactive podcast for kids? Join Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids, where episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We learned how to recycle at the beach.
That was great fun. Callie, what do you say?
It was! And that time when we did the science experiment and Billy made raisins dance.
That is so cool, Billy.
He did. Not to mention when a certain Elliot took up swimming classes with Lisa.
That was me.
Bet you can't catch me.
I'm going to get you.
All this fun and more in our Stories for Kids. Lingo Kids Stories for Kids is now available on StoryButton, the kid-friendly device for screenless podcast listening. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. It is 2024, and we're going to get through this together, folks. My campaign promise to all of you here on Next Question, it's going to be a good time the whole time, we hope. I have some big news to share with you on our season premiere featuring Kris Jenner, who's got some words of wisdom for me on being a good grandmother, or in her case, a good lovey.
You know, you start thinking of what you want your grandmother name to be. Like, are they going to call me grandma like I called my grandmother? So I got to choose my name, which is now Lovey.
I'll also be joined by Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, to name a few. So come on in and take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood.
I loved it. Your energy and joy.
I'm squeezing every minute I can for you out of this season of Next Question.
Last question, I promise. You have to go. I have to go. But it's been so fun.
And I can't wait for you to hear it. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What is your favorite thing in hip-hop? Is it making the record or performing the record?
And that's a tough one.
That's always been tough for me.
But I will say performing the record. And the reason why I say that is because, as you well know,
it's like shooting a gun.
Yeah.
It's like you got the gun. How you know it worked?
Exactly.
Let me shoot that motherfucker.
Right. Yeah. You gonna stand in the way?
Exactly.
But as we all know, everybody doesn't really perform to the same extent as their recording. So to me, it's sort of like a crown achievement when you could get on stage and you could give it up the same way that shit sound on a record. You know what I'm saying? It's special. And it's special and it's unique because everybody can't do it. You know, everybody can't do it. So, like, I've always prided myself on that, on breath control, like, you know, all the technical shit that, you know, nobody gives a fuck about when they listen to a record. It's like, oh, that shit banging. When it's in the club or just down the other or it's riding music, that's all they thinking about. That's all they supposed to think about. Right. Your job is to do all of the other things, the intangibles that make the record what it is, that makes them not think about any of that shit.
You know, that's ill because that's, I critique this young generation because I have to, right? And that's the difference between their music and our music is you can tell we didn't punch in. You can tell we didn't have the technology to go, you know, stop this. And that's why you see these guys, they go like, all their flows is going like this. And it's not
And that's
their
why
fault.
When they live, they punching have to rhyme in. They're going, over
the
tracks.
Nick, punch me.
Which is impossible to do it live. They have to rhyme over their vocal tracks.
Exactly.
Because it's impossible.
And that was my next question. Has there ever been somebody you were scared to say, I don't want to perform after him?
Oh, hell no.
Never.
Okay. Never, ever.
Goddamn, make some noise for that. I mean on stage.
Stage, studio.
Okay.
club, I don't give a fuck.
You that confident?
I'm Jazz-O.
Right, right, right. I asked Lil Wayne this, I gotta ask you that. Right now, you getting a record with Hov right now. You taking Hov head off?
I ain't trying to take his head off. I'm gonna say that.
All right, you ain't trying. But if you happen to take his head off, you gonna leave your verse? Nah, just go ahead. But you,
he gonna put his best foot forward. Right. I'm gonna put my best foot forward. Right. I got great confidence in myself, and I got great confidence in him.
Right.
And beautiful. You know, I've told people like it's like y'all niggas sleeping. Like he, you know, like it's so crazy. Like. For what we hear, like he's still that far beyond the 95 percentile.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And you gotta respect it. And that's one thing I did foresee. I was like, as long as he maintains his normal health and everything like that, he gonna be able to go. Right. He gonna always be able to go. And you know, niggas young, middle age, old, whatever, like they still, like, I hear stuff. And I'm going to tell you right now, I don't really listen to too much shit. I barely listen to my own shit. All right. And, like, I don't really see nobody, you know, fucking with them like that. And if they do, they need to turn off all of the auto-tune and the super punch-ins and all that other shit. We ain't have no punch-in. Like, if our timing was off, it's like, nah, I got to do that shit again.
Motherfuckers had to cut tape. To do edits.
Oh. Yeah, they run around with little dwarf
chords. Yeah, the cut
little dwarf chord rails. You don't remember that shit?
Yep.
The real joints.
Like 18 pounds, bro.
Yo, and what's crazy, I used to be in D&D where they had like, you know, they had sessions where they had like, you know, house music and shit like that. Mm. So, you know, them little parts where niggas was going, bam, 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 bam. It's a nigga with a motherfucking razor blade.
Yeah.
Like, I saw this one cat, I can't remember his name. He had, like, if somebody slammed the door, like, he probably would have killed them. But, because he had, like, yo, I'm telling you, he had, like, 30 little slivers that he had lined up that he had the tape, you know, on as an edit.
Right.
You know, to do some ill ass
edit. That's crazy.
You know how hard of a job that shit is.
Mm-hmm.
Yo, that's what I'm saying. When these kids be like, yo, I did the record and such and such, and I'm like, it sounds like you did.
Yo.
I'm like, I did my shit in 5 minutes. I know. You put no effort at all, and your engineer didn't care.
Right.
These engineers, they're just as high. Like, they're just as high, the engineers.
You said D&D. Shout out to Premier. You work with Premier, right?
Oh, most definitely.
Yeah, no, mm-hmm. I'm just saying it for the...
Didn't Premier produce one of the Jay-Z diss records, which is awkward. Let's just be clear. I mean, we got to talk about it.
Did he?
Yeah, diss I believe
so. For him?
Which one?
For Jay to him?
I believe so. That's popped up.
I don't know, because like I said.
You had so many beats, you was just going
and
crazy.
And then, yeah, and then I don't really,
right.
I don't really care, man.
Right.
Like, I was more listening to that stuff. Like, I would listen less to anybody else. If I was tracking shit, I would be tracking who was listening to my shit.
Right.
You know? However that sound, it is what it is.
And what was the actual discrepancy? Because everyone, when you Google it, like I said, I had to do my research, and it was great that I was like kind of like, you know, out of it yesterday, so I had all the time to keep going. Mm-hmm. And one of the stories it says that it was over a contract.
Nah.
Okay.
The truth of the matter is, and I hate to burst a lot of people's bubble,
right.
But it really wasn't anything. It was between the media and... certain crab ass bullshit weak motherfuckers in the circle. That was basically it. You know, saying certain things like, all right, I'll give you an example, and I'm not boosting myself. I'm not saying this egotistically, but I'm sincere to a fault sometimes because I give people too much credit. So like if somebody says something or they'll say it to me, and they're disgruntled about something, and then it's like, all right, that's confidential. I respect it. Right. You know what I'm saying? So then if somebody, if you turn around and the same person that said that to me goes to the person and they say something about me and then say and try to fix what they said, and then the person that they're talking to comes back to me, then I gotta let it go.
Right.
Because The same thing you asking me to do, you ain't do it. You just, you know what I'm saying? You just let that shit loose. So it's like, nah, I'm not going to do it to the point where I'm going to take a blow for you and make myself look a certain way. So it's like, I'm going to give it up. You know what I'm saying? This what happened. This what happened. You could put the nigga on the phone right now. I'm going to say the same shit that I'm saying in your face right now. So I'm sincere to a fault. And I think a lot of niggas around that time in that circle, they ain't like that.
Right.
They ain't like that. And then, you know, some of them niggas, they was just bitch ass niggas. They just wanted to be closer to this dude. And they knew that there was nobody closer to him than me because we was bros.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And that, you know, that's it. Yeah. That was just it. I don't want to name names because I don't want nobody coming at me. Then I gotta hurt somebody or have somebody hurt me.
I'm not
impervious to pain to injury, but I am almost. Yeah.
Right. Got that. Make some noise for that. Got that. Nah, but you know it's beautiful. It's beautiful to see men be men. You know what I'm saying? Because the thing about it is, they say how you come in is how you go out, right? If you come in, you come in butt naked, and how you go out butt naked. And the thing is, if you can, you know, make amends with the people you started with, and y'all can get some money together and do some business together, that's a beautiful thing. So, like, how did that come? Because I seen the first picture, I believe, was with no ID.
Yeah.
So, and I don't know, I forget where that was at. I forget where that first picture.
United Center in Chicago.
Okay.
That's an NID. He's from Chicago.
Yeah, no ID.
Right?
It's from Chicago.
Yeah, he's from the Chicago.
So how did that happen? Like, because...
I'll
tell you something. Not only the NSU was shocked, but they were happy. This was like the first time they was like, oh, fuck, yes. Like, finally, like...
Yeah.
Like, you know, all other Jay's discrepancies, we can see without. But this was something that I think everyone was just like, that's dope. Like, this is, like, sincerely a dope thing. Now, the business part is later, but let's describe that first picture when we seen it was you, Jay, and no ID. And this is for years of turmoil going on, and now, boom, this is it.
Yeah, so for... firstly, there was somebody I was doing some business with in Chicago who's from Chicago. They're actually from Detroit, but they live in Chicago. And, you know, one of their main things was to put us together.
Wow.
And I was like, that's cool, that's great, but, you know, let me press the button on that. Right. So they just jumped the gun. And, you know, it's like, you know, it's the perfect opportunity, this, that, and the other. So I'm like, I'm a path of least resistance guy. You know what I'm saying? So I was like, all right, let's see what happens. You know what I'm saying? I'm not worried.
Right.
So so he said he talked to Emery Jones.
Mm.
So
the homie.
Yeah. So Emery set it up.
Wow.
And so we got, you know, we went to Will Call and we met in the green room and it was just regular shit. Like, I ain't seen him since last month or something like that. He's like, Jazz. It's like, Jay, was good. You know, handshake, hug.
I can literally see this going on, by the way. Like, I can literally go ahead and
see it was beautiful.
Right.
It was beautiful. And I always like my chances with shit. So I didn't expect anything negative, you know, because, I mean, everything was, you know, I wouldn't have got that far if it was, you know, if something was, you know, awry. The beautiful part about it was he just stood in front of me and, you know, I didn't say much and he didn't say much, but he just went like this. And I was like, that said everything.
Yeah.
And I was like, that takes me off the hook because now I ain't got to be awkward and say anything and shit, and he ain't got to say nothing.
So we
just start talking about, yeah, so what you been up to? And, you know, little shit, you know, nudges and shit like that.
Right.
You know, so it was beautiful.
Nah, I ain't gonna lie. Y'all act the same, just being honest with you. Like, it's the smoothness that's with you. It's the same smoothness. Like, you can tell, like, I knew you wasn't gonna yell this whole interview. I knew you. I knew it. Like, you know what I'm saying? That's the good thing. Like I said, I was just so exhausted that, like, I don't want to describe myself as being sick yesterday, but I was exhausted. But the good thing was, I could still move my motherfucking fingers. So I just kept watching everything. Like, I watched everything about you. Like, this is the thing is, like, I get into art. When I'm about to interview you, I'm you. That's how much I want to be incognito. You know what I mean? Like,
gotcha.
And I just knew. The crazy thing is that a Marcy thing? Like, where y'all don't blow y'all cool?
Nah, it's not that, because I know a lot of niggas, like, I got to keep them, like, yo, man, chill out. They just said, what's up, man? Like, you know what I mean? But, no, I think sometimes, I mean, it's an expression of our own egos when you come into contact with someone and you tend to, you know, you have kindred spirits. Right. So you like, oh, I like that dude. He's cool. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's because you see the things that you like about yourself in somebody else. Right. So I think that has a lot to do with it. And then around that time, up until, like, for so many years, like, we were around each other all the time.
Right.
So there would be times where somebody would say something and we would respond with the same phrase at the same exact time.
No, I can see like that. Twins. I can see that.
Yeah,
that
type shit. So yeah, maybe, you know, it resonates to this day in some form or fashion.
So then after you guys see each other, how does this business deal happen? How does this happen? Because, you know, you guys seen each other. That's great. Just making amends, that's good enough. Like, for me, like, you know, if I have beef with one of my homies.
And that was a while ago, too, when that happened, right? Was it like...
It's like 2-3 years ago, yeah, I think, something like that. But then now this deal is announced.
Mm-hmm.
Your imprint, this is your shit, right? Correct?
Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong. And it's a distribution deal?
Yeah, it's a distribution deal.
So how does this happen? Like,
well, I mean, it really wasn't that complicated. This happened months later. This was on the On the Run 2 tour, and he was in Detroit. And so I told him, I said, I was doing some business in Detroit around the time, because one of my people told me, he's like, yo, you know, same time you in Detroit, you know, your man's going to be out there. I was like, word? I was like, so let me see what's going on. And then, like, yeah, man, it'd be great to see you. And he was like, yeah, that's perfect. So, you know, same shit, we'll call. And we were chopping it up. And, you know, he was just doing his thing, relaxing. But he kept asking me, like, so, Jazz, what's up? What you doing? What's going on? You know, and I was, you know, I'm usually very transparent, but I wasn't, you know. And, you know, I say, you know, I'm just, but I did tell the truth, you know what I'm saying? You know, I'm still, you know, doing music.
Right.
You know, I'm waiting for the right opportunity, you know, to make certain things happen, press some buttons. And he was like, all right. So he let it go. He saw that I was sort of being a little bit evasive. But long story short, you know, he was saying he was about to, you know, prepare for, you know, the stage and everything, you know. So I pulled him to the side, like, let me chop it up with you for a second. It's like, you know, and I asked him, I was like, you know, I know you got, you know, this role and this, that, and the other, and that's what I need. It's like, can you help me with that? He was like, say no more. I'll connect you with my people. And that was it.
Wow. God damn, make some noise for that.
Did you feel that at that moment you had to humble yourself to do that or not?
Nah.
Because, you know, some people feel like egotistically they can't do it. They can't. Oh. The ego is a big thing. They can't go in
like
there.
Like, some people can't remember their little homie turning into the big homie. And
Right. And you can't see, you even though you see opportunity, you won't go for the opportunity because your ego is in the way of it. You're like, I can't do that because of this pride I have.
Yeah, nah, but I mean, I looked at the big picture, like, you know, opportunity knocks,
right?
You know, and also...
and deserving as well, because you could even be deserving and not take the shot because of the pride, you know?
Right. And I felt like, and I still feel that way. You know, people say, like, oh, it's great, you know, these things that are happening, you deserve it. And I stopped them and I tell them, like, I don't deserve the shit unless I take it.
Right.
You know, it could be, I could have all these accolades and all that shit.
You have to go.
But if I don't go get it, I don't deserve it.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? So that's, and I, you know, that's when I just asked him, and, you know, it wasn't a big thing for him to do. And it wasn't a big thing for me to ask.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
That's a beautiful thing, though. Let me just say that.
Yes,
indeed. As an outsider looking in, you know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? Because to me, that's exactly what it is, man. Like, you know, I know you brothers are brothers. Like, you know what I'm saying? The history y'all got is so rich that it's like,
that's rich. That's rich in itself. That's the definition of rich to me, is when you have the rich history, when you have that type of shit like that, and
true.
To see it come back together in 360.
Like you and Capone.
Yeah. Hell yeah. That's motherfucking dope shit. So I just want to commend that. I want to salute that. I want to salute you. Thank you for being a part. But we ain't going. We ain't in it. Hold on. I'm going to take some more. No more shots, right? Oh, y'all want another
one
shot.
One more of Tiger Bone, I think.
One more? But you know three is my lucky number. We could do one more.
I heard two Tiger Bone shots of how you running up and down the beach.
No.
We can't take three because it's scarce right now.
Okay. All right. All right. So, now, when you see...
Yeah, you're trying to kill me, Mr. Lee.
You come from the era. I know this is a little crazy. You come from the era, and then I come from the era right after you, where we avoided cameras at all costs.
Exactly.
Like, it was just totally different. Like, now you walk around, these people are just filming you without... how do you adapt
to self-surveillance
that?
Now. Like,
yes. Well, like, everyone's their own paparazzi. Yeah. Jesus.
I mean...
You don't like me or something? All right, gave me the diesel. Right. It's okay. I'll take it down.
I want you to have a good time tonight.
But yeah. How do you adapt to that? Like,
that. I mean, with me,
you come from the super drug dealer era.
Yeah. and
this is the thing too. Like,
I don't know why you
I come from the
right
middle
now.
Drug dealer era.
yes, the super drug dealer.
You know what I mean? And no one wanted cameras. I remember people would be heated. You take a picture of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So two stories. One. As a child, like, it was, like, I never, like, and I had, like, one of those fathers is, like, try to, you know, just con you or bribe you into it. Like, come on, let's take this picture. And I'm like, I don't want to take a picture.
Right.
And he was like, I'll give you a quarter.
Right.
You know, back then, quarter was, like, $10.
Yeah, absolutely. You know what I'm saying? Right. The ice cream man came quarter got you a lot.
Right. Exactly. Right. So, you know.
Remember back then, a dime bag was a dime.
Oh, wow.
Good. Willie Nelson said that. Yeah.
So I never really wanted to take
a Tiger Bone.
No, he was sipping his wine.
Oh, all right, cool. I thought you cheated and sipped some Tiger Bone. My bad.
No, I ain't gonna do that to you. You know. So as I got older, like, yeah, you know, with the things going on, like, nobody wanted to be in pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And what was so funny, I just recently shot the video for the first single, M-A-R-C-Y.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, I shot it in Marcy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some of the OGs came out.
Right.
And I was like, yo, y'all want to get in this shot? And then he's like, nah, you got it. Don't I'm like, come on, man. We 100 years old now. Like, you've been out for a minute. Like you still doing shit? Like,
It ain't even that. It's that cold they following.
Exactly.
The code they follow.
Exactly. Well, like, nah,
I'm
going to
follow a code. My code is keep saluting my brothers, my thank people you in there. Yo, I literally got the biggest shot here now.
Drink your shot. I am here.
Now,
we'll be lit on the plane.
Marcy Projects. Got you, you got Jay, you got Sauce, you got Fleek. What's the new generation coming from Marcy Pride? Because I understand your deal is a label deal.
Yeah.
Well, you can sign other people, correct? You can have other people through your deal, because it's a distribution deal.
Yeah, excuse me.
Okay, no problem. This time alone, I apologize. You might have to take some red wine. That's the only thing that makes it work less, is drink some more liquor. I'm sorry, I'm just being honest.
I mean, I'm game.
Yeah, okay, let's do it. So you can actually sign other people. What would you look for in a new artist? Would you go back to Marcy, or what would you do if you?
I got to.
Okay.
I have to, because so many people fail where they come from. Like, and for us, that's a big part. It's an integral part of what we are, is where we came from.
Mm.
So it's important to go back to where you came from, find what you are or what you were, and nurture that.
It's like helping yourself.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you went back in time, and if you could have that, you're trying to do that for somebody else.
Right. It's the key to being a master and a servant.
Right.
Like, people look at a master and not realize that a true master is a servant of us.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it just keeps going in a cycle. For the most part, so.
God damn it. That was hard. A true master is a servant. Mm. You can't really be that guy unless you serve someone else. That's all.
Yeah.
So what's the next step? So now we got the deal. You said you got to take it.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the next step from here?
Just push the hell out of this single.
Yeah, the project. You got to tell us about the project.
Yeah, let's talk about the project. Yeah,
the project is called The Warm Up, which is more controversy. Right. If anybody familiar with, you know, another project that
which
was
is
titled.
Out now. By the time this comes out, it's out now. People need to go pick it up now.
Yes. All major platforms. It's 10 joints. I recently had a listening party in Chicago.
Wow.
That turned out really well.
Wow.
And the consensus of what I'm getting is everybody saying, yo, it sounds like a motion picture. Mm. And
you, I'm remember your thought, but you real hip hop. You not, you don't got T-Pain on your shit.
Oh, but it doesn't mean T-Pain's not hip hop.
Yeah, you don't mean.
Come on.
not T-Pain, not real hip hop. I'm saying.
No, T-Pain's not a rapper, but I know what you're saying.
You know,
like,
but you know,
you ain't
no auto tune, you know what I mean? You ain't got Future talking about, you know what I mean? Sipping Lane, Gay Cocaine.
Not one. And that's no disrespect to anybody.
No, that's my niggas.
But no disrespect to myself.
You gotta keep it true.
It's authentic to you.
Yeah, yeah.
So how difficult is that? Because making music in this time, do you try to cater to these new guys? Or do you say, fuck these motherfuckers, let me stay in my little lane?
Well,
what do we say?
The saying I always say to myself is stick to my guns. Stick when people ask
what you
advice,
called it earlier, correlatively, shit happens, what was it called, that word?
Axiom.
What?
Axiom.
Axiom.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, axiom. Yeah. What's the axiom for this one?
Stick to your guns.
Stick to your motherfucking guns, the axiom, goddammit. Yeah. So you kept it all hip-hop.
Yeah, I kept what I feel is hip-hop. You know, I had to give them that triplet shit and the double-up shit.
Which is ahead of its time when you did it.
Yeah.
Like, if you were ahead of your time then, doesn't mean you can't be ahead of your time now.
Because let's be clear. Let's just be clear. If you listen to Originators and you hear how y'all motherfuckers was hitting the cadences, a lot of people will call that like a down south style. They will say that, you know, or that flow.
It was a certain rhyme style,
a certain
flow,
rhyme
like
flow. And that's the reason why I kind of feel like that song was even called The Originators.
That's why.
And that's not to down south people, because down south people actually rhyme different. But when a person trying to do a down south actual flow, I feel like they go and they like listen to Originators. Am I out of line for saying that? Or
nah.
I, okay.
Nah, that's the foundation. Because right. Wasn't nobody doing it.
Right. I think people say down south flow because of Outkast. Okay. Who made that style, I think, down south more popular. But down south flow was really an accent of down south.
When I say that, I don't mean down south people doing it. When people emulate a down south flow, when you
right.
hear,
oh, okay, I see what you're
when
saying.
When they emulate
yeah.
it, like
when they're saying, "This is my down south flow,"
when you, yeah,
and
when
they're
you
doing
hear
double
Bone
time
Thugs,
right,
you
right,
hear,
okay,
like,
okay,
I kind of
right.
feel like,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
like they, but the original one was the Originators.
Right.
Am I bugging or like?
Nah, it's true.
Yeah.
Okay,
it's true. That was the original one, and it was actually the original Originators, which was on my second album in 1990.
Mm. You know, and y'all had that flow back then.
Yeah. And actually, what that flow was, it was a triplet. It was a triplet as opposed to like how they double time.
Right.
Nowadays, it was a triplet style.
Mm. Yeah, nobody was doing that. What are
I'm
you
not
doing?
Gonna lie. I'm not gonna lie, I just felt good about this. Hold on. I just didn't want to stop. Like, I just was like, yeah. Listen, we are.
I'm surprised you didn't put it over your arm.
No. Hey, hold on. This is Ace of Spades. We don't put that in the trash. Put it back down. Put it back down. We're feeling good. We have motherfucking Jazzo in the building, man.
The Originator.
Thank
you.
One of the super legends. And that's what this show is about, man. This show is about. When we started this show, we wanted to salute legends like you. We wanted to salute, you know, the illest thing about, I always say the illest thing about motherfucking Batman is Clark Kent, right? That's Batman? No, that's Superman.
That's Bruce Wayne. Batman is Bruce Wayne.
Bruce Wayne.
And that's not agree with y'all. Like,
are you saying Superman?
Huh?
Are you saying
no,
both?
He said Batman.
I'm saying both. I'm saying that hip-hop to me is both. Like, hip-hop to me is is the illest thing about us is our superhero capability, but then our normal capability.
Right.
And that's what I love about our generation is that we just have to continue. And the thing that me and my partner, we sat here and we thought about, we said, yo, listen, man, these people don't salute the people that have been here too long. They want to kick these people out. And I got to change that. We want to change that. And I believe we are changing that.
Yes.
So I just want to salute you, Jazz. I want to say how much you appreciate it. I want to say how much that I'm a hip-hop fan, you know what I mean? So I've seen you, like, when I see, you know, the history, you know, I Googled everything, I was just like, this is so dope. This is, and you know, for you and homie, you know, to start out together, you know, go through what y'all go through, and y'all coming back together, that is a beautiful thing. I think this should be a magnified, that's what they're called, right? Like, makes the letters bigger, magnified. Yes. I feel like it should be magnified. I feel like it should be saluted. I feel like it should be praised. You know what I'm saying? And if anybody else ain't gonna do it, guess what? I'll be very happy to be the first one to do it. And you are more than welcome, you know, on Drink Champs anytime. You know what I'm saying? You want to promote some other shit, you want to go on here,
it's
you
want to
do your motherfucking, you know, this is hip-hop. This is what we made this for. We made this for legends. And I'll be gosh damn if every legend in the fucking world don't feel welcome. And you motherfucking, if you don't feel it, you have the motherfucking pass. God damn it.
Yes.
Let's do a picture and take some drops. And I'm going to finish.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of Drink Champs, hosted by yours truly, DJ EFN and NORE. Please make sure to follow us on all our socials. That's at Drink Champs across all platforms, at The Real Noriega on IG, at Noriega on Twitter. Mine is at Who's Crazy on IG, at DJ EFN on Twitter. And most importantly, stay up to date with the latest releases, news, and merch by going to drinkchamps.com.
AT&T Connects and Ode to Podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Discover a new educational and interactive podcast, Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids. Our episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We went shape hunting around the block, and we found spheres and cubes on the street.
That was great fun. Join Stories for Kids, the Lingo Kids podcast, inspiring you to learn while having fun. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. I've got some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring the one and only Kris Jenner.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. That is very, very exciting.
And that's just the beginning. We'll also be joined by podcast host Jay Shetty, Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, and many more. So come on in, take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.